You're listening to Vatican Radio. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States, Archbishop Paul Gallagher, travels to London on Tuesday for an official visit to Britain aimed at highlighting the role of the Holy See on the international stage. The Liverpool-born Archbishop, who was appointed as the Vatican's foreign minister in November 2014, will hold talks with officials from Britain's Foreign Office, Home Office, Department for International Development and Department for Energy and Climate Change. He'll also meet with the all-party parliamentary group on the Holy See, with the incoming Commonwealth Secretary-General, Baroness Scotland, with the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and with local Catholic leaders. On the eve of his departure, Archbishop Gallagher sat down with me to talk about his hopes and expectations for this three-day visit. This visit to Britain is, I suppose, something of a homecoming for you as the first British-born foreign minister for the Holy See. In what ways are you hoping to be able to strengthen ties with Britain, or at least increase understanding about the Vatican and about its diplomatic mission?
Well, I think that relations between Great Britain and the Vatican are very good already. You just have to recall the wonderful visit that Pope Benedict had a few years ago. And we have long-standing relations with the United Kingdom, which were celebrated a few years ago. They celebrated 100 years of relations at various levels. Yes, I'm going home as somebody who was born in the UK, but very much representing the Holy See. I think what I'm hoping is that through the contacts I'll have with Her Majesty's government and other people, members of Parliament, that we'll put a little bit of flesh on things that perhaps they grasp in theory rather than in practice. Seeing somebody who actually is working with the Holy See and just exchanging with them.
Do you think it's fair to say that the British don't always understand the kind of soft power diplomacy that the Holy See represents?
I wouldn't say that, actually. I think that the British government acts in many parts of the world, and they have a differing influence in different parts of the world, and in some parts probably they also have to have recourse to soft power. And I think that there is an increasing awareness of the fact that the sort of influence the Holy See can bring to bear can be often create the conditions on the ground and in people's hearts and minds, which open them up then to helping to trying to resolve some of the very big issues and conflicts that the world faces today.
And yet, 500 years or so on from the Reformation, there are still those who don't believe that Catholics can be trusted as loyal citizens somehow, that the sectarian tensions that probably you grew up with in Liverpool are still lying there very close to the surface.
I think that is to some extent still true. I gave a talk in Australia a couple of years ago on what I recalled from my parents' and grandparents' experience of sectarian tension and conflict in Liverpool over the years. But I think at the same time we do recognise that enormous progress has been made both in terms of law and in terms of opportunity. But because of the nature of Catholicism in some ways, Catholicism is never a sort of easy religion. It's a demanding faith. It demands almost everything of you. So there's always been a tendency to doubt that loyalty. But you get that in many other parts of the world, where a particular country and citizenship is identified with a particular religion. And sometimes Catholics are on the receiving end of that prejudice, and sometimes perhaps we are also assuming that traditionally Catholic societies should have maybe a special role.
You're also going to be meeting the Archbishop of Canterbury, aren't you? Will you be discussing these issues with him? And what message are you taking from the Holy See, from Pope Francis?
Well, the message we're taking is of continuing dialogue. I know Archbishop Justin Welby from a long time. I first met him when he was a canon of Coventry, and he came to Burundi, where I was the nuncio. He was then, because of his experience in the oil business and where he had to learn French, he was looking after the Coventry Cathedral's reconciliation ministry in French-speaking Africa. So we met there, and then he was also Dean of Liverpool, so I met him on one occasion in the Catholic Cathedral in Liverpool. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing him again and to having an opportunity to exchange with him. Also on the progress and the pilgrimage that the Anglican Church the Church in England and the Anglican Communion are making at this time, which is a very delicate moment for them when they're trying to consolidate their unity, to rejuvenate their communities, and face up to many difficult issues for any of us to deal with today.
As you know, a short film on the Lord's Prayer was recently banned from British cinemas on the grounds that it could offend non-believers. Do you share the concerns of those who fear that religious freedom in Britain today is being seriously undermined?
I think we have to be very broad in our acceptance and tolerance of diversity. I think that we have to see religious and cultural and linguistic differences between people as riches and not constantly trying to brush over differences. These are things which contribute to our society, which throughout English history and British history, there's been a constant arrival of people from different parts of the world, from parts of the old British Empire, people who come at times of great conflict, the world wars. And they brought their traditions, their thing. I think we have to be really much more respectful of people's religions and the things they bring, obviously provided that there's nothing which is in conflict, fundamentally in conflict with the law and tradition and public order in our countries. But I think we should not be automatically removing all indication of people's religious beliefs or the fact that something is different. I remember once visiting my solicitor in Liverpool, who is a Jew, and it was about Easter time. I was home from some nunciature, and we had a little conversation about some issue, and at the end of it, I got up to walk out. And he said, "Aren't you going to greet me?" I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Aren't you going to wish me a happy Easter?" And I said, "Well, you know, if it says, oh, no, we all celebrate Easter and Christmas and all these things, and it's part of our life." And so I think we should be struggling to do that. And sadly, in so many parts of the world, there was in the past greater understanding, greater sharing of festivals and religious things and greeting and sharing meals together on a religious occasion. There is a danger, perhaps, that we take ourselves a little bit too seriously.
There are some areas where the British government and the church are cooperating very closely. I'm thinking, for example, perhaps of the Santa Marta initiative against human trafficking. What other areas do you see possibility for progress that perhaps you're going to have discussions about this week?
Well, I'm going to meet the Secretary of State for International Development, and as you know, the Catholic Church, through Caritas and other organisations, has a marvellous network of people helping in on development issues. And I think that those, and through my own experience, there are much collaboration can go on like that. But you're right to underline the Santa Marta group, which is something very close to the Holy Father's heart, and he's personally encouraged it, because modern-day trafficking and slavery is a real issue, and it's an issue which grows out of many of the conflicts, many of the situations of social deprivation, and also many of the challenges which come through organised crime today. So I think there are an infinite number of things on which we can cooperate. Obviously, there is a question of limited resources and manpower, and sometimes that can be a determining factor as well.
You were in London, weren't you, just quite recently at a conference on humanitarian aid to Syria, which I understand pledged a lot of money. But do you feel that there is more that the British government should be doing to try and end the conflict there and push for peace throughout the wider Middle East region?
I think the British government is playing a very active role in negotiations and in coalitions to oppose Islamic State and Daesh, and also to bring peace to Iraq and Syria and other parts of the Middle East. It's not for me to judge that. That's an internal debate of government and of the people. What I only would say is that, it's not looking at the British, it's looking at all of us, is that in these moments of great conflict throughout the world and enormous problems and challenges to us all, we all have to play our part. And I think that the message of the church is never pointing the finger at a particular country and saying you're not doing enough or you're doing things in the wrong way. Rather, encouraging where good initiatives are being taken and good is being done, but we can always do more.
We have a new date set for a Syria ceasefire. Is there anything else that here at the Holy See you can be doing to help support this push for peace there?
We're keeping in touch with the representatives of the Secretary General who are working on the Syrian question and who are trying to relaunch negotiations, and we're encouraging them, and the Holy Father is following these issues very closely as well.
One of the key areas of concern for British government ministers at the moment, of course, is the referendum on whether or not to leave the European Union. Do you share the Prime Minister David Cameron's view that Britain is better in, or do you feel that the out camp have some valid points to make?
Well, I'm sort of on the record of having said something on this. Since then, things have changed. The referendum has been called, and the positions of many leading actors. So I don't think it's right for me to express a particular opinion at this time. All I would say is that the Holy See is working always for the benefit of all, for the common good, and for strong institutions and strong countries. And so we try to hope that whatever decisions are made, that they will contribute to making life better for Europeans and to helping Europe give the leadership that it's called to do in the world international community today.
Which the Holy Father seems to say quite often that it's not doing at the moment. It's not up to this task as yet.
Well, it's a big challenge. What he said in Strasbourg a couple of years ago is well known. He believes that Europe has to renew itself, has to cast off perhaps the veil of old. But this is normal. The European project's been going on now for 70 years. It's been extraordinarily successful. It's brought prosperity to many parts. And above all, it's brought peace and security. Now, at this particular point in time, some of those things are not quite as certain as they were. So it's a moment in time and in history when I think everybody has to assume their responsibilities and work extremely hard to guarantee that we will have many more decades of peace, stability and prosperity here in Europe.
My thanks to Archbishop Paul Gallagher, the Holy See's Secretary for Relations with States.